in bed is Marjorie Taylor, Dr. Joseph Taylor's wife.
Except for the day when she married Joe, this is the happiest day of her life.
Except for the day when she married Joe, this is the happiest day of her life.
The birth of Joseph Taylor Jr. and of a very experimental and rather special show. Who was Joseph Taylor Jr., or rather, what would he become? Welcome to the second part of our Rodgers and Hammerstein retrospective. This is where we look at one or two of the shows that got away, that didn't make it big, well, by their dizzying standards anyway. We all know the big five shows, and you can reacquaint yourself with those on our other Rodgers and Hammerstein podcast. But do you know Allegro? This was Rodgers and Hammerstein's third show, and coming as it did after Oklahoma and Carousel, with South Pacific to follow, it seemed to everyone but its authors to be quite out of character. Hammerstein again wrote the book, but this time he didn't base it on any existing work. It was one of only two original books he wrote. The other was for Me and Juliet, which we'll get to shortly. So what made Allegro stand apart from the blockbusters that surround it? Well, it's subject matter and form, for starters. This was an allegorical musical about medical ethics. Not exactly ER with songs, more a birth-to-death odyssey about one Joseph Taylor Jr., a talented young doctor lured away from his father's practice in small-town America by the greedy corporate medicine men in Chicago. The Taylor family's community is not unlike that of Thornton Wilder's classic Our Town. He has a childhood sweetheart, and so far their relationship is pretty much in embryo. You've heard of the conditional love song? Well, here's a twist on it. With two little words, so far, Hammerstein found a new way of anticipating the future.
We have nothing to remember so far. Share the light of a star. So far, your heart has never fluttered so near, so near. But for one heart alone could hear it. We haven't gone beyond the very
So far from Allegro, and what a gem that is. Rodgers knew exactly how to underline Hammerstein's lyric in the closing measures. It's the reiteration of the words, but now I'm face to face with you, and now at last we've met, and then the cozy anticipation of the payoff, and now we can look forward to the things we'll never forget. Simple and clever. Stephen Sondheim was a gopher on the original production of Allegro, and he has called it the first really good experimental show. The message, said Hammerstein, and he conceded that it might not have got across as he'd hoped, was personal integrity. It was something he knew about, and it was the reason Allegro was written. And if you didn't like the reason, you wouldn't like the show. Joe Taylor does end up leaving Chicago and going home. Sitting in his swish office, disillusioned by the realization that accountants don't heal patients, he hears his mother's voice. and with Rogers plying her with a melody at once so tender and persuasive, who wouldn't be on the first plane home?
Come home, come home, where the brown birds fly through a pale blue sky.
Offer a song, a melody no son could refuse, Come Home from Allegro. Hammerstein's second original book was for a musical about a musical called Me and Juliet. That's right, we're in a theatre where the backstage dramas are, if anything, more intriguing than those on stage. There's a romance, chorus girl pursued by assistant stage manager, an attempted murder, chorus girl harassed by jealous hard-drinking electrician, but will it be curtains for anyone? Meanwhile, there's that mysterious unknown force called the audience, and I doubt they've ever been characterised quite like this.
A big black giant who looks and listens with thousands of eyes and ears. A big black mass of love and pity and troubles and hopes and fears. And every night the mixture's different, although it may look the same. To feel his way with every mixture is part of the actor's game. One night it's a laughing giant, another night a weeping giant. One night it's a coughing giant, another night a sleeping giant. Every night you fight the giant, and maybe if you win, you send him out a nicer giant than he was when he came in. But if he doesn't like you...
The big black giant, otherwise known as the audience, who didn't exactly flock to see Me and Juliet, but who was certainly wowed by at least one of its songs. Actually, the melody of No Other Love will have been familiar to US audiences from the TV documentary series Victory at Sea, where it first surfaced in Richard Rogers' incidental music. A dark and sinewy tango, it was crying out for words.
No other love have I, only my love for you, only that if we knew.
Thank you.
Other Love, Victorious at Sea, and now the hit song in a musical. It was a good move on Roger's part, recycling that melody. Once it had words, Perry Como topped the US charts with it. Ronnie Hilton did the same in the UK. It was also interpolated into the London stage version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's TV musical of Cinderella. But that's another story. By 1954, Rodgers and Hammerstein had reached the halfway point in their 17-year partnership. And one thing was clear. Of their 6 Broadway shows to date, the 4 based on plays or novels, Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific and The King and I, had been international smash hits. While the 2 wholly original shows, Allegro and Me and Juliet, while hardly disasters, proved less commercial. It was at this point that the name John Steinbeck entered the frame. Canary Row had been optioned by Frank Lesser's producers, Foyer and Martin, but Lesser opted instead for The Most Happy Fella. Meanwhile, Steinbeck had a new novel, Sweet Thursday. Rodgers and Hammerstein liked it, acquired it, and called it Pipe Dream. The characters were many and varied.
The starfish may look unimportant, lying limply on his underwater shelf. He may look unimportant to you, but he's very interesting to himself. It takes all kinds of people to make up a world, all kinds of people and things. They crawl on the earth, they swim in the sea, and they fly through the sky on wings. All kinds of people and things. And brother, I'll tell you my hunch. Whether you like them or whether you don't, you're stuck with the whole damn bunch.
All kinds of people wrapped in one of those unassuming Rodgers melodies whose unexpected turns are hard, no, impossible to get out of your head. With tunes like that, he's a latter-day Arthur Sullivan. Now, it's well known that Julie Andrews went to see Rodgers and Hammerstein about Pipe Dream around the time that Lerner and Lowe were considering her for a certain musical adaptation of Shaw's Pygmalion. But was she really being considered for the role of Susie, a vagrant-turned-prostitute? Julie Andrews could never have sunk this low, vocally speaking.
I rode by a house with the windows lighted up, looking brighter than a Christmas tree. And I said to as I rode by myself, everybody's got a home but me. I rode by a house where the moon was on the porch and a girl was on her feller's knee. And I said,
slight echo of You'll Never Walk Alone. That was Judy Tyler, who eventually won the role of Susie in Pipe Dream. Everybody's got a home but me, she sings, but not for long. Only trouble is she's paying the rent by turning tricks. The Sound of Music this is not. But it is a show about salvation. And surprise, surprise, salvation for Susie is a madam called Fauna, played in her Broadway debut by the great Wagnerian soprano and Met star Helen Traubel. She had a number called The Happiest House on the Block, whose irony was nothing if not cosy. Too cosy for some. The producer, Billy Rose, laid the problem firmly at Hammerstein's door. You know why Oscar shouldn't have written this show? The guy has never been in a whorehouse in his life.
The happiest house on the block is quietly sleeping all day. Blue heaven
Pipe Dream ran for 246 performances and 7 months on Broadway, which by Rodgers and Hammerstein standards was hardly a success. As one reviewer observed, maybe they're human after all. But Pipe Dream was Steinbeck for family consumption, and some have felt that its lovely score belonged to a different show. One thing was certain about the show that followed 3 years later, everybody went out humming the drum rhythm. Million miracles are happening every day, and one was the overture to Flower Drum Song. By the end of it, Richard Rodgers has you singing along to his catchiest confections. Grant Avenue, San Francisco, California, USA is its biggest and brassiest swinger, and the location too for Oscar Hammerstein and Joseph Field's book, which deals in a warm-hearted way with the dilemmas of Chinese Americans and their children, the old ways versus the new. But this was still 1958, and the advance of feminism was not about to make its mark on this show.
When I have a brand new hairdo, with my eyelashes all in curl, I float as the clouds on hairdo. I enjoy being a girl. When men say I'm cute and funny, and my teeth aren't teeth but pearl, I just flap it up like honey. I enjoy being a girl. I flip when a fella sends me flowers. I drool over dresses made of lace. I talk on the telephone for hours with a pound and a half of cream upon my face. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I hope will be in the home of a brave and a free male who'll enjoy being a guy, having a girl.
One in the eye for Germaine Greer. I enjoy being a girl. Most Rodgers and Hammerstein aficionados, including me, will tell you that Flower Drum Song is a personal favourite, the real wild card among their scores. Andrew Lloyd Webber, no less, will tell you that the really big ballad in the score, sung by a relatively minor character, is one of their very finest. Incidentally, verses don't come much shorter than this.
When you pass my door.
Love Look Away, a corking ballad from Flower Drum Song. It was a show very much of its time, when the generation and cultural gaps had become chasms among America's Chinese community. But of course, political correctness had not yet robbed us of the chance to laugh at each other, or indeed at a nightclub stripper with a number called Fan Tan Fanny. Oscar Hammerstein was quoted as saying that Flower Drum Song was a lucky hit. Luck had nothing to do with it. By the way, it was the only Broadway show Gene Kelly ever directed. Well, so much for Rodgers and Hammerstein on stage. Cue the only score they wrote specifically for the big screen. For me. Not, I hasten to add, my own response to yet another gorgeous Rodgers ballad, but the name of the ballad, one of two standards to grace Rodgers and Hammerstein's State Fair. There were actually two versions of this straight-to-screen musical, the 1945 original and the 1962 remake with pop idol Pat Boone. But it did eventually arrive on the New York stage in 1996, with an effectively new book and a number of interpolations from other Rodgers and Hammerstein scores, one or two of which we've heard in these podcasts. State Fair, the movie, was very much 20th Century Fox's answer to the war effort. It's essentially a feel-good, just folks musical, meaning no plot to speak of, just folks. There are no villains, nothing bad happens to anyone. The only tensions arise from whether or not mother's sour pickle and brandy mincemeat will pass muster, or whether father's temperamental pig Blue Boy will win best in show. You can hear him on the original soundtrack, grunting along with the Oklahoma-esque title song.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even delay. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
State Fair came with a copper bottom guarantee that it was going to be a grand night for singing, to quote another of its enduring hits. By far the biggest of those hits, indeed it won an Oscar for Best Song, was this. Rodgers originally wrote the melody with a bright tempo in mind, but the legendary Alfred Newman, arranger and conductor on the 1945 movie, sensed that it should have a ballad feel. And boy, was he right.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever, when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a man I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. But I feel so gay that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
It might as well be spring. The big hit from the big screen, State Fair. We've one more number, and it began life on the small screen when CBS collaborated with Rodgers and Hammerstein on a TV film version of Cinderella. Their charming score later hit the London stage when Harold Fielding presented it in 1958 as his Christmas pantomime at the London Coliseum. Tommy Steele starred as Buttons, and Jana, remember her, played the rags-to-riches heroine. But first there was this lady, demurely sat in her own little corner, dreaming not just of going to the ball and marrying the prince, but more significantly of taking to the hills and climbing every mountain. In 2 years' time, she'd be doing just that. For now, though, the bright young star, whose audition for Rodgers and Hammerstein was once a pipe dream in every sense, was their perfect Cinderella.
In my own little corner, in my own I can be whatever I want to be. On the wing of my fancy, I can fly anywhere, and the world will open its arms to me. I'm a young Norwegian princess or a milkmaid. I'm the greatest prima donna.
Be back.